What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. Got another good one for you today as we talk about the greatest game ever played, the Klay Thompson Foundation, and much more. It's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's going on? Hope everyone's having a good week so far. It is Friday. So everyone be safe and healthy and happy out there this weekend. A couple things I wanted to get to today just to get you into your weekend. A little taste of the Warriors before we all wrap this thing up for the week. ESPN came out with the 8 best games of the 2010s. They're doing a series about, you know, best players of the 2010s, best shooters. And we mentioned a couple of these articles before when it came to shooting, how Steph is the greatest shooter of all time and how you should all go check out the article just because it has shot charts of Steph's that just really help remind you how incredible he is and how once in a generation type player he is, maybe once in a lifetime with the way he shoots. But one of the ones they've done is the 8 best games of the NBA of the 2010s. And they have a couple in there of the Warriors, because as we know, the Warriors dominated most of the 2010s. And here's what I'm here to do. Here's the ranking. They went 8-1, and they included playoffs, which is understandable because it's not just regular season games. They did Heat versus Celtics, Eastern Conference Finals Game 6 in 2012. Mavs versus Trailblazers, 2011, Game 4. Warriors, OKC, 2016 regular season. And for those of you who don't know this game, it's the one where Steph knocks down the, you know, 37-footer to win it. And here's my argument for why it's the best game of all time. Let me get to, you know what, just to give it context of why I'm, again, this is just a ranking. It's not a big deal, but I believe that that game is one of the best games of all time, if not the best game of all time. And that came in at number 6. Number 5 is Jazz Lakers 2016 regular season. That was Kobe's last game. Like, get that the f*** out of here. Are you kidding me? Nice moment for Kobe and Kobe fans and Laker fans, but that was not a good game. It had some good moments with Kobe doing whatever Kobe wanted to for the entire game and getting all what did he have, 60 points on 100 shots. That's ridiculous. Here's my argument with some of these is this is best game or games of the 2010s, not best moments, not most sentimental, not best shots. And I bring that to Mavs Miami Heat 2011 Finals Game 2. That was a good one. That one I'm fine with. 3 was Golden State Warriors OKC 2016 Western Conference Finals Game 6. That's where Klay knocks down 11 threes, goes off, and forces the Game 7, which the Warriors came back 3-1 to go on to the finals. That one makes sense. Here's the one that I have a gripe with. Cleveland Cavaliers versus Golden State Warriors 2016 NBA Finals Game 7. Obviously, that's the one where the Cavs came back from down 3-1. Kyrie hits the late three-pointer over Steph to pretty much seal the win. And here's my gripe is that game kind of sucked. It was not a good basketball game. It was a ton of missed shots, not a lot of points scored. The Cavs won 93-89. So if it is the greatest shots made of the last decade, absolutely that might be one of the biggest shots in NBA history that Kyrie hit. As far as the game, though, it was really, you know, about 47 minutes of bad basketball. It was not entertaining. It was not a good game. And then, of course, number one, San Antonio Spurs versus Miami Heat, NBA Finals Game 6, in which Ray Allen hits the miracle three. Chris Bosh gets the rebound, dishes it to Ray Allen, which then spurred the Spurs to come back and dominate the next year and win their title. But the reason I wanted to give it context is because there's a couple of moments in there, a couple of shots that they are mistaken for good games. Like, that's one thing that bugs me, is when someone classifies it as a good game because there was a buzzer beater or something like that, or a big shot at the end or something like that. That doesn't mean it was a good game. It means there was one good shot, one good moment, etc. But I want to get back to the two games listed for the Warriors. Obviously, the OKC Western Conference Finals one was ridiculous because that's just Klay Thompson, Game 6 Klay Thompson. Ridiculous. He carried them that game. There's no doubt about it, and he hit ridiculous threes. It's similar to what he was doing in Toronto before he got hurt. It's similar to what he did in Houston this last year and the year before. It's something about Game 6 where he says, screw it, and I'm going to unload the clip, basically. But the one I want to get to is the regular season game, because I think it's one of the best regular season games, or just best games of all time. And it's not just because of the deep shot to win it by Steph, which was awesome, but there was drama and good basketball throughout the entire game. The Warriors were down, I think, double digits at halftime, not playing great. Draymond Green is missing shots, and we all know the drama that happened in the locker room with Draymond and Steve Kerr screaming at each other, Draymond, I'm not a robot, etc. And one of the things that gets lost in that, because the reporting was all about Draymond and Steve Kerr going at it, one of the things that gets lost is Draymond came out and had a monster second half doing what he does and does best, is defending, rebounding, ball handling. You know, he just wasn't shooting. And it really sparked him to get him going in the second half. Another thing that happened is Steph, early in the third quarter, gets drop kicked in the ankle and by Russell Westbrook, and it's one of those that, like, it doesn't just look like, ooh, that's a bad ankle roll. It looked like he might be out for the entire year, like he broke his ankle, basically. You know, Steph's on a fast break. Russ is trying to chase him down, jumps up, and lands just absolutely perfectly on Steph's ankle, like it was almost damn near choreographed. Steph goes out of the game. Warriors are keeping it tight, you know, playing okay basketball. You know, they were down double digits, and they were within reach. OKC never expanded it to 20 or anything. And Steph comes back, tapes his ankle up. He had to leave the game after getting dropkicked by Russell Westbrook. Leaves the game, tapes up, comes back, and he ends up knocking down threes at a Steph Curry rate. He ended the game with 12 threes, which at the time tied the NBA record. So he comes back, is knocking down threes, playing great. The Warriors, again, down four late in the game. They were able to keep it close the entire game. Down four late in the game, coming back. Down four with less than a minute left, actually. Klay drives to the hoop, gets an easy layup. As the Thunder inbound the ball, the Warriors trap Kevin Durant, who throws a sloppy pass, which then is picked off. There's a scramble for it where, you know, Draymond saves from going out of bounds. Klay gets it. Klay kicks it to Andre Iguodala, who's open on the wing, steps into a mid-range shot with Kevin Durant in the air to contest. KD makes contact with Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala goes to the line, down two, with point something seconds left. And Andre Iguodala, by the way, shooting about 55% from the free throw line. Guess what he does? Knocks down one, knocks down two, tie ball game, walks to the bench doing the Jordan shrug. Just unbelievable basketball for 48 minutes, and guess what? We got free basketball after that because it's a tie game. We got overtime. In overtime, KD actually fouls out pretty early, which then the Warriors start going on a run. It's OKC 118. Warriors 115 with less than a minute left. Klay gets it on the wing, drives to the hoop, layup. He's bumped by Russell Westbrook and one, hits the free throw, tie ball game. On the next possession down for the Thunder with no KD, Russell Westbrook dribbles it out for a long time, takes a bad shot, misses it. Warriors get the rebound. Steph is dribbling it up very nonchalantly, very slow, which seemed weird at the time, but with the outcome, you realize he's timing his steps to where he's gonna take a 40-footer. Dribbles it out, takes the deep shot, knocks it down. You get the great Mike Breen call, bang, bang, and the double bang. You never get that. You never get that. Steph Curry runs to the bench, does a little C-walk, a little Bernie lean, and that's all she wrote. This was during the 73-9 season. This is during the Warriors' greatest run. And to me, it's one of the best basketball games of all time because it was good basketball all throughout with drama all throughout. You had injury drama. You had drama between player and coach. You had drama of Andre Iguodala making a shot. You had the drama of KD making bad pass and then fouling out late in the game. It was, to me, it's best basketball game of all time. Should have been rated number one. Instead, it was ranked number six. And I know the stakes weren't as high as finals games and things like that, but as far as a basketball game goes, a full 48 minutes, or in this case, what, 53, whatever it is, best basketball game of all time. Thank you for following me on this trip down memory lane. Klay Thompson and the Thompson Family Foundation had an event recently, which actually spurned some pretty funny moments as well, as you can expect from just about anything that Klay does. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's happening? Just went over what I think is the best basketball game of all time. Warriors, Thunder, 2016. The Steph 40-footer to win it. All that stuff. Just a nice little trip down memory lane. Thank you guys for joining me on that. But I want to get to Klay Thompson and the Thompson Family Foundation have put on an event over the last couple days where the Warriors have been involved. And not just the organization, but players and former players and consultants. And of course, by consultant, I mean Zaza Pachulia. Zaza Pachulia was there, and he and Klay took a nice little picture together of them leaning up against, I don't know whose car it was, but a Rolls Royce, I think it was. And Klay with the caption, you know, enjoy your retirement gift, Zaza, or something like that. Basically intimating that he got Zaza a Rolls Royce for his retirement gift, which has not been confirmed. I do think it was a joke, but you never know with a guy that just signed a $190 million contract. But Klay's funny, so I'll take it that way. Also, they are doing a golf event as well, and one of the things that I enjoy, I don't know how much it means for camaraderie or anything like that, but Alan Smilagic, Jordan Poole, and Glenn Robinson all showed up and were all involved, which is something I like to see. Again, as far as what it means, I don't know, but it can't hurt team chemistry and can't hurt their relationships at all, I would imagine. So that was a nice thing to see. And on top of that, I believe Klay's girlfriend, Laura Harrier, was there, who, for those who don't know, is an actress, a number of movies, probably most know her from Spider-Man Homecoming. And I hate to admit it, but look, I like these celebrity couples, man. I enjoy it. Seeing Klay dating an actress is pretty cool. And kind of funny, too, because it's Klay. And just, I've mentioned before, just about anything Klay does makes me laugh. But Laura Harrier, the actress, and Klay Thompson are confirmed. It's all over Instagram. I hate to admit it, but I'm into the gossip too, you know. I like the celeb couples. So what's the name? Clara? Clarier? Something like that? Hit me up with a good one. At CTH415. So I just wanted to give an update on Klay. He's moving around pretty well. He's been on a bunch of vacation, so he's at least out of the wheelchair, I guess. I'm just kidding. We don't really have any updates on his health, his rehab, or anything like that. And until we get him, we're just going to be, you know, Instagram detectives to see, oh, he's out there running around. He jumped off the boat into the water. Like, he's looking pretty healthy. So there you go. Steph Curry has said that he wants to play in the 2020 Olympics. So I have a couple other notable stars. And we're going to talk about one of his teammates who's also said he'd like to be there in 2020. And we'll talk about that on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Steph Curry has made it clear that he plans on playing in the 2020 Olympics. Klay Thompson has said if he is healthy enough, he wants to play as well. I believe Draymond Green has said the same thing. I think Damian Lillard has also. And not a surprise, but definitely a positive step here after the U.S. Finished seventh at the FIBA World Cup. And it's kind of what I expected, though, that players would want to play in the Olympics, just not in the FIBA World Cup and not going all the way to China, you know, weeks before training camp starts. So am I surprised? No. But also, will I be surprised if some of these guys end up backing out of the Olympics? Not really. But with Steph and Klay, and Klay did say, you know, health permitting, that he'd like to play, I'll take him at his word. I think they'll be there. And I just think people didn't want to play in FIBA. I just don't think they wanted to spend the time practicing, going to China, playing in FIBA for a FIBA World Cup. But for the Olympics, yeah, they will make the sacrifice or what have you, or put in the work to go win a gold medal. And I'm not surprised at all. And the one thing is, it's too bad for all the guys that went to FIBA who probably won't make the Olympic team, because, you know, the superstars are here to save the day and win a gold medal. So we'll see what happens. But I thought that was newsworthy, especially coming from Steph, who doesn't have to say it. I mean, especially this far out, doesn't have to say that he's going to the Olympics. But he did miss the last one in 2016, right? Yes, 2016. He did not go with Draymond and KD, and I think Klay was there as well. So it's more understandable that he would be interested in going this one and put it out there this early. But things can change, so we'll see. But Steph being the, you know, knight in shining armor coming to save USA basketball is a good look, especially since he was the first one to say it, too. So just smart marketing, you know what I mean? Smart guy. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for getting weird with me on a Friday. I know this was kind of a different episode, but I hope you enjoyed it, and I have some plans next week doing some roster review type stuff that I think you'll all enjoy. So stick around for that. Have a fun, safe weekend, and I will talk to you next week here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.